Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Jason Tatum makes third-team All-NBA, and how do the Celtics get Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker going? We're going to talk about it here on this Thursday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go! Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hi there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter. Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you're new, welcome aboard. Really enjoy that you're giving this podcast a chance. I know there are a ton of podcasts out there and some good ones. So checking this one out, I really appreciate it. Hope you enjoy it. I'm the regular host. This show is Monday through Friday. It's always Monday through Friday. It's been Monday through Friday. It's going to be Monday through Friday. It's a daily podcast. It's free. It's regularly done. And maybe even a bonus episode on some of these weekend games. But I'm here to get you through it. All of the regular listeners, shout out to you. Really appreciate you all coming back on a daily basis. Today, segment one. News of the day, a couple of things happen. Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward updates, and how to get Jaylen Brown more involved. Segment two, a little bit about Kemba Walker, a little bit about closing games. And in segment three, I will share my appearance on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I was on with Adam Jones and Christian Arcand on Wednesday night, so I'll let you hear what I had to say on the radio there. So let's just start here with a couple of notes from Wednesday. First of all, Jason Tatum was named to the third team All-NBA. And right out, let's just go through the teams. The first team was Giannis and LeBron, both unanimous, as they should be. James Harden, Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic. That sounds about right. Second team, Kawhi Leonard, Nikola Jokic, Damian Lillard, Chris Paul. Also sounds about right. This is where it starts to sound a little bit wrong to some Celtics fans. Pascal Siakam makes second team, where Jason Tatum makes third team with Jimmy Butler, Rudy Gobert, Ben Simmons, and Russell Westbrook. In a weird quirk, Chris Middleton did not make any of the All-NBA teams despite getting 82 total points, which is more than Simmons, which is more than Westbrook. And it seems like a farce that he's not on the team because he had a great regular season. And as I said, 10 people voted him on their second team, 52 voted them on their third team. But because he split votes between guard and between forward, he didn't make the team. Which, forget about Jason Tatum for a second. Chris Middleton, after the year that he had, and forget about the bubble, this is about the year that he had during the regular season. This is just insane. I would be pissed if I was Chris Middleton. And this goes back to things that I've said before about voting. The fact that the voting is screwed up, and the fact that people's contracts are tied to these votes, that's a problem. Now, Chris Middleton's is all locked up. It doesn't matter to him necessarily. But if it happened to somebody who was up for a potential Supermax, who the hell are we? Who would I be? I'm not a voter, but I could be at some point. Who would I be to deny someone the opportunity to make more money? You know, and we get caught up in the money and the basketball and all of this, but it's a job for these guys, and getting more money just makes it so their kids, their families, generations are set up. I mean, this is generational wealth we're talking about here, and any one of us would be, I think, a little upset at something like this. So I just had to get that off my chest, because Chris Middleton getting 82 points but not making it when Simmons and Westbrook did, just because some of his votes got split between guard and forward, that's silly. That needs to be addressed somehow. Anyway, Jason Tatum got 153 points. Pascal Siakam got 168. Another thing that's just, I mean, silly. Siakam got a first place vote. Who is voting Pascal Siakam on first team All-NBA? He had a really good season. He had an especially good start to the season. But You're voting him over LeBron? You're voting him over Giannis? Are you kidding me? How did that happen? Or you're voting him over one of the guards? I mean, who on that first team are you putting Pascal Siakam over? Luka? Anthony Davis? James Harden? I don't get. It may not have made a difference. And Jason Tatum making third team versus second team, it's, you know, it would be nice. It's gonna be nice to look back whenever his career is over and say, you know, you want to put that second team on there. It's not going to affect anything. He is eligible. Jason Tatum is for an extension. He is eligible for 30% of the cap versus 25% of the cap. And he is eligible for that fifth year at 30%. So he can make a little bit more money out of this. I don't think he's going to necessarily get all of that 30%, all of that extra money that he's eligible for. I think there's going to be a little bit of an uptick as opposed to the 25% that he could have gotten. And I'm pretty sure the Celtics, once he started going off, knew that this was a possibility. This isn't like Charlotte last year with Kemba and him making an All-NBA team and them going, oh my God, he's eligible for the Supermax, now what? Like, I think the Celtics saw this coming. Anyway, congrats to Jason Tatum, third team All-NBA. The fact that he makes an All-NBA team in his second year in the league it's just phenomenal. It's a great sign, and he should only be getting better. The other bit of news is Gordon Hayward upgraded to doubtful, and that means that he's no longer definitively out, which is progress. And does that mean he'll be ready for game two? I think, just judging from the Celtics' history, they're saying probably not going to go, but we'll let him sleep on it, and if by some miracle it feels great in the morning, then we can upgrade him. But he's not definitely out, and we'll see what happens in the morning. I don't expect him to play in game two, but this makes game three a certain, more of a possibility. And I talk about this later in the radio hit, but I think Gordon's going to be back either by game three, by game four at the latest. So that's good news that Gordon Hayward is on the road to coming back. Look, the Celtics can really use him. We saw that in game one. They could have used him against Toronto, but they got by the Raptors, obviously. They could have used him for sure in this game one because he's another guy that can just help get the ball moving. And that brings me to Jaylen Brown. After I posted last night's podcast, I got a few responses saying, I can't believe you didn't mention Jaylen Brown more than once. We try to keep these Locked On podcasts to somewhere around 30, 35 minutes. I don't always do a great job of that, but it's supposed to be somewhere around 30, 35 minutes. So I didn't see Jaylen as a big, like he had a nice game. And considering that much of the game was problematic, I didn't see him have a ton of mistakes, although he did have some really bad ones. He had a really horrible mistake trying to guard after he made a three-pointer. He lost Jay Crowder and got burned for an uncontested layup. That was a horrible mistake. But generally, Jaylen was just kind of like there in game one. But you need Jaylen Brown to be more than there. And it should be no surprise. When we talk about, and this was the topic, I'm listening to all the Celtics podcasts out there, and everybody has the same kind of assessment. And Brad Stevens, in his conversation with the media on Wednesday, same kind of assessment. Stagnant offense, the ball didn't move, and they didn't get back in transition. Well, what happens when the offense stagnates? The Celtics, as I've said, hunting mismatches, and instead of moving the ball, they just tried to score against these mismatches. Well, what kind of player is Jaylen Brown? Jaylen Brown is a guy that depends on the ball movement. In the regular season, 129 three-pointers made for Jaylen Brown. 114 of those were assisted. Okay? So, of the 129 threes, 114 were assisted. 15 three-pointers unassisted during the regular season. This is according to the NBA stats. 427 regular season field goals, 256 assisted. Jaylen Brown needs the movement to thrive. Okay? So when Kemba is hunting the mismatch, when Jason Tatum, is hunting a mismatch, then Jaylen Brown's just standing in the corner, and he's waiting for those corner threes. That's one of his strengths. But he's not going to get, you can't dribble and create your own corner threes. Those are mostly catch and shoots. Okay? Like, unless you're Jason Tatum, sidestep corner threes, you're catching and shooting from the corners. So, Jaylen Brown needs the ball to move. When the offense stagnates, Jaylen Brown stagnates. He can try to create, and he's gotten better at creating. He's gotten better at attacking, and that's certainly a growing part of his offense. But he needs the ball movement. The Celtics need offensive creativity. And just because you see a mismatch in front of you, it doesn't mean you have to try to score against that mismatch. All you have to do is try to exploit that mismatch, which means attack it, drive it. If Tyler Herro or Duncan Robinson are in front of you, drive. If Goran Dragic is in front of you, drive. Because if you drive past those guys, which is a good chance you will, someone has to help. And when someone has to help, you drive and kick. And when that guy drives because another person from Miami has to come over and help that out, then that person drives and kicks. And what ends up happening is wide open shots. Or the second drive ends up going and becoming a layup, which we saw in the first quarter with Jaylen Brown. That is how he's going to get going. If the Celtics are going to get Jaylen Brown more involved, it's by moving the ball. And that's going to help Kemba too, by the way, because Kemba can get into some of those actions that we saw Fred VanVleet do in the first series, in the second series there, where give the ball up, run, replace, wait for your guy to kind of get lost, spot up, boom, get a shot. But if we're talking about how to get Jaylen Brown more involved, I don't think you have to run a lot of offense for Jaylen. You have to run just a regular offense. Move the ball, run your offense, and then Jaylen Brown's going to catch and shoot those threes like he was doing early and like he was doing against Toronto. So that's it. No one will benefit more from ball movement than Jaylen Brown. No one is going to benefit more from rockauto.com than you. If you go to rockauto.com to do your shopping for whatever it is you need for your car, doesn't matter if it's complicated like an engine control module or brake parts, doesn't matter if it's something simple like tail lamps or motor oil or a new carpet, it's all at rockauto.com. It's all at regular, reliably low prices. No different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. That's ridiculous. Go to rockauto.com instead of one of those chain stores, because when you walk into one of those chain stores, all you're going to do is give that person behind the counter all of the information for your car anyway. Just save yourself the trip, do it at home, save yourself money. Why choose to spend 30 to 50 to 100% more for the exact same auto parts at one of those chain stores or, God forbid, a car dealership? Don't do that. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. And if you go to rockauto.com right now and check out what parts are available for your car or truck and you buy something, make sure you write "Locked On" in their how did you hear about us box. That's very important because that's how they know we sent you. Go to rockauto.com right now. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. So I just spent a few minutes there talking about getting the ball moving because Jaylen Brown needs the ball. Catching the ball on the move for Jaylen Brown is going to be huge, especially when they're going to close out, and you can attack that closeout by catching the ball on the move. One guy's going one way, one guy's going the other. Makes sense. You get by him. And by Jaylen Brown moving and catching the ball, that's going to help Kemba Walker too. Because Jaylen Brown's passing has been much improved. And Kemba penetrate, kick out to Jaylen. Jaylen drive. If he shut off, turn around, kick it back to Kemba. Or Kemba goes to another spot on the floor. Got to find these ways to get Kemba going early too. Kemba, a little bit different than Jaylen Brown because he has the ball in his hand a lot. He creates his own shots. Celtics have to find a way, whatever it is, if it's using that Daniel Tice seal play to get Kemba a couple of shots at the rim, if it's running a special kind of offense to get Kemba a few pull-ups, whatever it is, get Kemba going a little bit early. I'm wondering if some of what Kemba is struggling with is fatigue. And not like bubble fatigue, but just fatigue in general, because his last three games are his three biggest minute games. 52 minutes against Toronto in game six, the double OT. 44 minutes against Toronto in game seven. 43 minutes against Miami in game one. And we saw late, he struggled. And looking at some of those shots, like the one he ISO'd against Jay Crowder and dribbled the air out of the ball, he shouldn't have done that. I also think he slipped a couple of times. That's another thing. At some point, they have to address. How do you address that slipping on the floor? There's a lot of players slipping. Jaylen Brown almost tore his freaking groin slipping on the floor. Kemba on that isolation play, certainly, I was wondering why he didn't get any lift. Is at the very end of the fourth quarter. He slips. It's still, I mean, he shouldn't have put himself in that situation. That was terrible. But also, I wonder if he's tired. I just wonder if he's tired at the end of these games. He averaged in the mid-30s as far as minutes played during the regular season. I'll know if it's fatigue. We'll all know if it's fatigue when Gordon Hayward comes back. Whose minutes does Gordon Hayward take? Does Gordon Hayward come back, whether he comes off the bench or starts, but especially if he comes off the bench? Does Brad Stevens use Gordon Hayward to reduce Kemba Walker's minutes? I have a feeling that he will. I have a feeling that when Gordon Hayward comes back, and even if he can come back and he's not at full cardio, full capacity, even if he can only play like 25 to 30 minutes, if they're trying to work him back, I think that's going to be a way to get Kemba's minutes back down into the mid-30s. I think they're going to find a way to save Kemba's legs. If they do that, if you see Kemba Walker's minutes come down and his production go up, then we'll know that the answer is fatigue here. That they're trying to ride him as much as they can, and he's just struggling a bit. Look how hard he has to work. Look how hard he has to go to generate his own shot. Jason Tatum makes it look easy. He's smooth because he's tall. He can shoot over the top of anybody. And that last second shot in the regulation, he just stepped up and shot right over the top of Jimmy Butler. Didn't matter. You can argue about the quality of that shot. You can argue that maybe they should have worked something else. But regardless, him being able to just say, hey, I'm going to shoot right now over the top of you, and Jimmy Butler basically not being able to have any impact on that shot, that's what Jason Tatum can do because he's 6'9". Kemba Walker can't do that. Kemba Walker, what's his signature move? Drive at you at full speed, stop on a dime, step back, pull-up jumper. Because he needs to get that speed. He needs to get the defender off balance because he's small. And that's how he clears space. That's the reality. And people talk about, oh, he makes $140 million. Well, $140 million is not going to make you grow 4 inches. So the Celtics need to create space for Kemba Walker. Or if Gordon Hayward comes back soon, find a way to reduce his minutes so he has the energy to create his own space. Him driving and getting to the rim against zones, like that's not going to, he's getting swallowed up. He's gotten swallowed up the last three games. So the Celtics either have to get creative and help him create space so he's not expending a lot of energy, or cut his minutes. And maybe that's just first half, you reduce his minutes, you lean on Wanamaker and hope that he can have another game where he's productive. Or you ride him for game two and hope that Gordon Hayward could come in game three and be the answer. But that's what I think is happening with Kemba. Now, if Miami wants to blitz, that's fine. I don't mind Miami blitzing Kemba. I think Kemba did a good job on, I saw three or four separate blitzes. He did a great job of pulling those defenders up to the towards half court, got rid of the ball. The Celtics got 2 3-pointers out of it. And one play, I wrote about this on masslive.com. I broke down everything that went wrong in the fourth quarter. Grant Williams got the ball and just didn't see Jason Tatum in the corner. That could have been a third three-pointer there. And that brings me to guys being visibly upset during the game. And Tatum, if you watch that clip, if you go to masslive.com/Celtics and pull up that thing that I wrote and watch that clip, Tatum, he's wide open in the corner. And Grant totally misses him. Totally blows it. That's just, I'm sure when he watched it on film, he was like, ah, crap. You know, like, okay, he screwed up. Marcus Smart screwed up. Everybody screws up. I'm not going to harp on that. You need to be more aware, but, you know, it happens. But Jason Tatum, you see him bouncing up and down like, ah, oh, like a kid who didn't get a toy. And Jaylen Brown, when he didn't get that pass from Marcus Smart, and they had like an animated discussion. And it's not a big deal. It's, you know, whatever. You have these discussions. I don't think that this is a sign of like, oh, maybe these guys aren't getting along anymore. I think it's a sign of fatigue. I think it's a sign of frustration. I think that's a sign of like, you can't just control the pressure of the moment, the magnitude of the moment, and the fatigue of just being like, just think about it when you're with yourself. When you're tired, how much quicker do you snap? I know I do. Tired, a little upset. Been a long week. Somebody says something to you, you snap at them. You don't mean it. You apologize. Sorry, you know, having a bad day. That happens. Happens on the floor. It's happened on teams. I've been on teams where it's happened. You know, whatever. You blow it off in the moment. But it doesn't mean that it's not a sign of fatigue. So the Celtics, as I've been saying a bunch, this is where you got to power through. This is where you've got to power. In another piece that I wrote, it was a column based on my third segment last night. I basically, these guys, it's unfair to say it, but you want to be a champion. This is part of it. You want to be a champion, you got to find a way to power through it. You got to do what seems impossible. You got to get through what normal people just get to deal with. You got to get through it. You got to stuff it somewhere, which sucks because that's not how it's supposed to go. But in sports, to become a champion, it's an obstacle, and the Celtics have an obstacle to clear. Up next, I'll share my appearance on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's coming up. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify.
We welcome in on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, John Corrales of Mass Live. John, I'll ask you that very question. What's the issue at the end of these games?
I wish I knew. I wish they knew. But, you know, that's the question. That's the million-dollar question. I asked Marcus Smart that last night. You guys keep saying, we know we let go of the rope, blah, 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 cliche. We got to get better at that. They said on Monday, as we were previewing the series, you know, the number one lesson we learned is you got to close out games. You got to close out quarters. But yet here they were, unable to close out quarters and unable to close out the game. This has been a problem all season long. When things get comfortable, they kind of relax. I don't know why it keeps burning them. I'm sure there is some level of fatigue that's mixed into this as well, fatigue, the bubble fatigue, being in there for more than 70 days now. I'm sure it's a lot harder to maintain your focus for everybody, but this is something that's plagued them all season long.
Yeah, I mean, look, and just on the bubble fatigue, and I'm not lashing back out at you. Just I would point to Miami, or I would point to Denver, or some of these other teams that seem to be handling that well and handling it better than the Celtics. And I'd ask the Celtics to take a page out of that playbook. You mentioned you asked Smart. I think you asked Brad last night too, and Brad got a little snippy, right?
I asked Brad if the offense stagnated because they were hunting mismatches, and he said was,
I'm
going to have to look at that and get back to you,
yeah.
which is a way of saying kind of like, yes.
Yeah.
He didn't want to say it.
So you think Brad's ticked at the way they're handling some of these end of game situations, and he just doesn't want to say it.
Yeah. Like, look, what happened last night, and having poured through the fourth quarter, they made a ton of defensive mistakes. The number one reason why they couldn't close that game was a ton of defensive mistakes. They not only hunted out mismatches and just went ISO against those mismatches, they would miss a shot. They wouldn't get back on defense. There was one play where they had a great offensive possession. Jaylen Brown hit a three, yet somehow Jay Crowder, who inbounded the ball after the made three, came up the floor, got a pass, and got an uncontested layup past Jaylen Brown, who had lost where his man was. Like, that's the loss of focus that I'm talking about. That's something that's inexcusable that kept happening. More than the offense just stagnating, that stuff happened as well. And as Brad said today when he was talking to us, some of the standing around and watching guys ISO leads to bad transition defense, because if you're standing there, you're not involved in the offense, you're flat-footed, and when you miss a shot, they get going, they catch it on the run, and they all of a sudden now have kind of a half step on you. So that's the problem. Defensively is the number one thing. They have to be better focused on just getting back on defense and having better rotations and not getting lost.
We're talking to John Corrales, Mass Live. He joins us here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. My theory, John, is the reason they're having trouble closing out is it's Kemba. And I know Kemba hit some big shots last night. He absolutely did. And he's hit them all playoffs long, right? He had a big step back on Horford in the Philly series, a big one on Ibaka in the Toronto series. You know, he hit a step back last night with like a minute left to put him up five, and then fell asleep on defense, and Hero hit a three on him in transition like 7 seconds later. He put him up with 20-plus seconds left in the overtime last night. So I'm not saying it's all bad from Kemba, and he was actually at his best in the fourth quarter in overtime, at least offensively, but he hasn't been himself. Why is that? And I the Celtics are telling us he's healthy. He's saying he's healthy, so it's got to be something different, right?
Yeah, well, you know, he's had the past three games in particular have been a real struggle. The past five, I think it was, have been a real struggle from three shooting. Offensively, his shot is off, and he is prone to, if his shot is off, to kind of just getting lost on defense. It affects him when he's getting back on defense. I think he kind of hangs his head a little bit, especially when it's happened now three games in a row. Looking at that fourth quarter defense, there were definitely some times when Kemba kind of got lost, or at least was like a step too far out of position. Why is that happening? I don't know necessarily why he's not hitting some of the shots that he would normally hit. Last night, I know in the game 6 and 7 of the Toronto series, they hit a defense directly geared towards stopping him. They played a box and one, and they got him out of rhythm. In the fourth quarter of last night's game, they were blitzing him. They blitzed him 3-4 times in the fourth quarter. And to his credit, he was able to pull those two defenders out towards half court, get a pass off, and let his team play 4-on-3, where they got two good looks at three. They made 2 3-pointers. And if Grant Williams had seen Jason Tatum, they would have probably had 3. So there are other things that he's doing, but he's really, really struggling with his shot. I think he's also maybe struggling with a little bit of fatigue in those late minutes, not necessarily bubble fatigue, but actually playing 43, 44, 52 minutes in three consecutive games. I think he's not used to doing that. He hasn't done that. And I think that might be part of the problem.
How good are the Heat? Because I certainly am overlooking them. I'm looking right past them to the NBA Finals. I don't know how you had this series shaking out, but I'm curious your feelings on how good this Miami team is, because I think the Celtics should beat them and they should be in the NBA Finals. I'm disappointed with last night.
I think they should beat the Heat, but I've been very afraid of Miami. Since they got Jay Crowder and Andre Iguodala, that took away two weaknesses that the Celtics exploited. If you look at their regular season games, they went after Duncan Robinson. They went after Tyler Hero because they were forced to play a lot of big minutes. They had Myers Leonard in the starting lineup. He doesn't play anymore. They have been allowed to play different styles. So now with those two guys that they got, they're playing Bam Adebayo at the five rather than the four, and that just changes the entire dynamic. They can play through him up at the elbow. They can play a real cutting style. Brad Stevens compares them to the Golden State Warriors, not by quality of the players, but stylistically. They run a lot of split action. They run a lot of cuts. They rely on a lot of threes. A lot of the play calling looks similar to what the Golden State Warriors have tried to run to get those cuts and threes. And that's a direct result of the additions that they made. Crowder is pretty good defensively, and he's shooting the lights out since he got to Miami. Best shooting of his life since he got to Miami. So they're good. They're tough. They've added that toughness. They've added that defensive intensity. And they're shooting. Very often, three-point shooting is the difference maker in these series, and they've got some real knockdown three-point shooters. They're a dangerous team. The Celtics have more talent, especially whenever Gordon Hayward gets back, but they are still, Miami is still very dangerous.
Quickly on Hayward, when do you expect him back? It sounds to me, just based on being upgraded from out to doubtful, it sounds like Game 3 might be in play.
Game 3, I think, is the target. At the latest, Game 4, especially because Game 4 hasn't even been scheduled yet. I think a lot of people are anticipating that being Wednesday,
yep,
because Sunday would be the
Western Conference.
Western Conference. Yep. Monday would be Monday Night Football, and this is an ESPN series, the Eastern Conference, so they're not going to bump Monday Night Football. Tuesday would be another Western Conference game, so I think Wednesday would be Game 4. That would give them plenty of time. So I think by Game 4 at the latest, but I would expect him possibly by Game 3.
All right. He is John Corrales. Check him out at Mass Live. Pepper and Brad Stevens. Pepper and Marcus Smart last night. You can follow him on Twitter at @RedsArmy_John. John, as always, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks to Adam and Christian for having me on. It was a good time. Enjoy getting on there to talk a little bit of Celtics. And enjoy having you all here to talk a little Celtics with me. I really appreciate that. I hope you enjoyed that little segment. I like to share those when I have them, and I have the opportunity to share them. So if this is your first time listening to the podcast, it's one of the things that I'll do. Hope you enjoyed this show. Game 2 is Thursday night, 7 o'clock start. So I'll be back after that with a regular post-game show for Friday, and then I probably will do one for the Saturday night game going into Sunday. So get ready for that too. Subscribe to make sure you get those directly to your device. Wherever podcasts exist, you can get this podcast. Follow on Spotify. This show's climbing up the rankings on all of these charts. Really appreciate it. It's the number one ranked Celtics podcast on iTunes. So thank you all who have been listening, rating, and giving a good 5-star rating and a good written review. That's been awesome. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.